Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone. Apologize for not being able to be there in person, but appreciate you working it out to come through Zoom. And trust the Lord will bless his word today. But I got to ask a question about the fellowship time. Did you have that special coffee that they often make when I come?
Yeah.
I want to know if you can give me a cup of that through Zoom, because I really miss that coffee. I miss that fellowship time there in person too. So I trust you all are doing well, and trusting the Lord during these crazy times that we're living in. But I would like to do a study today in John chapter 15. So you might want to go ahead and turn there to John chapter 15. But you know, this COVID-19 has brought a lot of changes, obviously, to our individual lives, to the assembly life, and work life, everything, society as a whole. And how many of you have heard the phrase, stay at home? Probably everybody has heard that more times than we care to admit to, that phrase, to stay at home. We've seen it in print, and you know, seen it on billboards, and even on those we have some electronic signs on the highways in Guilford County, and sometimes you'll see it there. And you hear all different kinds of reactions to that phrase, to stay at home. Some people feel like that their rights have been, you know, violated to say that, and others have been impacted financially in a negative way. And then others maybe even got, I've known of some that have gotten laid off and gotten, and then their unemployment was actually more than what they were making had they been working. And then there's others that had to start doing their work remotely from home, and they didn't know if they was going to like that. But then as time goes on, they found like they liked kind of working from home. And then, of course, there's those who protested, you know, the whole idea of having to stay at home. But what would you think if I suggested that the Lord actually has a stay-at-home order, so to speak, for us as believers? Well, that's what I want to look at in John chapter 15. And as we approach John 15, back in starting chapter 13, leading up to it, you remember how the Lord had met with his 12 in the upper room as they were preparing for the Passover. And it was the night before that he was betrayed and arrested. Remember how the Lord Jesus, as they were around the table, and the Lord Jesus had gone around and had washed the disciples' feet, and then subsequently Judas had left to go and conspire about betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. And during that time, he had told the disciples that he was going to leave them, and that where he was going, they would not be able to follow him. And then there were some more teaching and such as that. And then chapter 14 ends up closing with him saying, "Arise, let us go from here." Well, when we come to chapter 15, it seems as though the teaching that we get from John 15, it happened along the way as they had left that upper room to go through Jerusalem, across the Kidron Valley, and then eventually to the Garden of Gethsemane. And maybe they had passed by some grapevines along the way, and that's where that's what stirred this teaching, so to speak, or maybe that's what he used as an illustration for the teaching that we have here in John chapter 15. So I want to go ahead and start by reading the verses, and then we'll dive into it here in just a minute. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things I heard of my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Well, I'm sure you noticed the emphasis on fruit bearing throughout this passage. That whole idea of fruit there is mentioned at least 8 times. But you know, there's another idea that comes through this passage, another theme, I would suggest, and that is the thought of abiding. And that's really what drew my attention to this this passage of Scripture. And the Greek word for abide there is used some 10 times in verses 1 through 10. But then it's also used 2 more times in verses 11 through 17, where it's the same word, but it's translated as remain. And so that word abide, what does it mean? It means to stay, which could refer to a given place or a condition or in relation to something. It means to abide, to continue, dwell, remain, stand, or tarry. And one writer gave this definition, says it's to simply to stay where you are. Another said it means to maintain unbroken communion with Christ. And so you can get the picture of this idea of the branch abiding and remaining close to the vine. And so we know that we as branches need to stay where we are in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, the vine. When we think of this whole idea of to be at home, as it were, it doesn't simply mean to be under the same roof as somebody. You could be under the same roof as somebody and not really be at home with someone. It's the idea of close communion or intimate fellowship, very similar, I would suggest, to the thought of abiding. And so here in John 15, we have this idea of staying at home, staying close to, abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I would like to look at. But, you know, the context of this chapter, of John chapter 15, I think will even help explain it some. Because if you go back to John chapter 14 for just a second, look at verse number 2 of John chapter 14. In John 14:2, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And that word there for mansions It is from the same Greek word that is used in John 15 that is translated as abide. And obviously we know that when we get saved, we're born into the family of God. We enter into a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this relationship begins at salvation, and then it continues with us as being sojourners. We sang that song closing the Lord's Supper, that our home is in heaven. This world is not our home. Our home is in heaven, but we're sojourners here. And even though we've been saved and our souls are eternally secure in Christ, we're still living here on earth as sojourners. And until we get to that place, we will be as pilgrims and as wanderers here in this world. And so Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he's going to prepare a place not just for the disciples, but he went to prepare a place for us as well. And it'll be a place where we can permanently abide with him and be at home with him forever. Man, it just, especially in light of all that's going on in these days, doesn't that make you just want to, we look forward to that day. We look forward to the what a glorious day that will be to be at home and be with him forever. But what about the time that Jesus had told his disciples when he said, you know, I'm going away, and he told them, he said, you cannot follow me now. Man, what a blow that must have been to those who had given up all of their careers and their lives, you know, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were. And then he's going to say, I'm going somewhere and you're not going to be able to follow me. They were going to be staying here. And what about that time that they would be here? Well, sure, we look forward with great joy and anticipation to being with him forever. But our Lord addressed this whole idea of abiding not only for the permanent, eternal time we're going to be with him, but if you would look at John chapter 14 and verse number 23. John 14 and verse 23. And here Jesus, it says that Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You have to just stop and meditate on that verse for just a minute, because it is absolutely incredible. Let me read it again. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And listen to what he says. We. Who is we? That's God the Father and God the Son. We will come to him and make our, there it is, the plural again, make our home with him. And that word for home is the same Greek word that is referred to as, that is translated as mansions in verse 2 that we read a few moments ago. The same Greek word. And so therefore, it also comes from the same word as in John chapter 15 that is translated as abide. And to stop and to think that this relationship, this incredible relationship that we now have with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ is one where we can look forward to an eternal abode with him in heaven. But while we were here, does that mean that we can't enjoy that now? No, we can. In fact, the amazing thing is we have this opportunity where he says, we will come to him and make our home with him. Brothers and sisters, that's referring to us as believers. To think of God the Father And God, this is almost unbelievable. If it wasn't written in the scripture, it would be so hard to understand that they would want to come and be at home in my life, in my heart. What an amazing thing. A sinner like me. And obviously we know that the only way that can be possible is it has to start with being saved. An unsaved person could never experience that. But that the work of Christ is so perfect and complete, and we're cleansed and clothed in the righteousness of Christ, that he can come and he can say, I want to be at home in your life. God the Father, God the Son. Can you imagine, we've had with all these political things going on, could you imagine if the president of the United States was coming through town and he was going to do a rally or something, and he came to your home to sit down and have a meal? Can you imagine what that would be like? The president of the United States. Man, we would count that an extreme honor to have someone of such prestige to be able to come into our home. How much higher, how much more unthinkable would it be that God would say, I want to come and I want to be at home in the heart and in the life of Ron Murdoch or of Neil or Paul, of any one of us. What an amazing thing that he wants to do that. But that's what he has for us while we're sojourner here on this earth, that he wants to make his abode and abide with us right here and now. Well, when we get to John 15, I believe John 15 then is a picture of what that looks like when we are abiding in him and he is abiding in us. And so here's where we have this in John 15. I would like to refer to it as our Lord's stay-at-home order. And by staying at home, this is not referring to, this is not about a place. Sometimes when we think about staying at home, our first mind with all this COVID stuff is to think, oh man, that means talking about staying at home in the walls of my house. But this stay-at-home order is not about a place. It's about a person. It's about being close, being at home in close fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not about staying away from others. It's about staying close to God the Father and to his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This stay-at-home order is not about the spread of a virus. It's about the cultivation of a loving, close relationship with God. And that's what we have for us here in this life, is this stay-at-home order. And so, really, at this point, you almost have to just pause from our study and just worship. Just worship. Because to think that, first of all, God would love us enough to give his Son to save us is unthinkable. We will never fully understand why he would love sinners like us to pay such a price to allow his Son to bear our sins and to save our souls. But even more, not only that, but that he would want to come and to take this unworthy, small vessel and make it his home. My life and your life, to be at home in our lives. Just incredible. We just have to worship him at such a thought. So to help us understand how this is going to look, he gives this illustration in John chapter 15. And he paints this picture of a vineyard. And, of course, it would have been something that would be very familiar in that day and time in that culture. But here, of course, the vine representing the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read, the vine dresser representing God the Father is the one who cares for all of it. And then the branches, the believers, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is the fruit of that vine, the life and character of Christ as it is displayed in the lives of believers. And so we have all of these pictures here given to us to show and to illustrate what it means for us to abide in Him, to stay at home, to stay close to Him, as it were. And so the first thing I'd like to think about is what are the reasons for that He gives for this stay-at-home order, as it were. The first is for fellowship with Christ, fellowship with Christ. And this speaks of a life with peace, and this is in verses 1 through 3. Let me reread verses 1 through 3 as we want to zero in those verses for just a minute. John 15, verses 1 through 3. First of all, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." So a branch that is not in fellowship with the vine is not staying at home, as it were, in close communion with the vine, obviously cannot bear fruit. It simply can't. It can't happen. There's no way that it can happen. And so this speaks of our fellowship. When we get saved, we enter into a relationship with Him. And the other day I was talking to, we had a gospel outreach, we had a fall festival. Normally we invite our whole community around the chapel to come in, and usually we have like 100 kids that will come out to this fall festival, and we have games and they win candy and we share the gospel with them. We did it on a more limited basis this year because of all the restrictions and, you know, wanting to maintain a good testimony to our community and such as that. But we still did it, and we allowed the kids of the chapel and then just friends that they wanted to invite to come. Well, a little boy responded to the invitation, and for them to respond to the invitation to stay behind, we set it up deliberately that they were going to go back into the gym and play games and win more candy. So this boy, he knew he was going to have to give up some fun. He was going to have to give up some more candy if he wanted to stay behind and talk, and he did. And the first thing he said when I sat down and talked to him is he said, "I know that there's more candy and fun in there." He said, "But I know this is more important." And he wanted to talk about his soul. And we began to talk about going through the gospel with salvation. And the Lord just opened his heart. And he had a very clear, there was a little misunderstanding of some things that we were able to clear up through talking with him. But then he made a profession of faith. And you could just see the light come on in his eyes, as it were, as we talked and we shared the gospel with him. And when he received Christ, he got this big smile over his face. And is that not true? When we come to know Christ as our Savior, it's a new life. We're changed. We're transformed. We're a new creature in Christ, and we enter a relationship with Him. But that's a beginning. That's the beginning. And now there is that fellowship, to maintain that fellowship. And I began to give him some counsel on the assurance of salvation. And so I gave him the illustration of, you know, when I asked him, when you do something wrong, does your mom, you know, kick you out and say, you know, no longer are you going to be one of my children anymore? And he said, no. And I said, that's the same way, you know, when we're saved, when we're born again, you know, that doesn't mean we're going to live a perfect life, but we've got to maintain that fellowship with the Lord. And if we sin, you know, He's not going to kick us out of His family, as it were, and we're going to lose our salvation. but we want to make it right. We want to grow in our fellowship with Him. And that's true for not just a child who is 8 or 9 years old, but for every one of us. To stay at home and to be close in our fellowship with Him. And when we do, when we cultivate that fellowship and that relationship in that way, there is that peace that we have, that peace of God that comes in our lives. When we get saved, He gives us peace with God. And as we grow in our fellowship, we have the peace of God that rules in our hearts. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." And you know, that's not something, that is a truth that is written, but it's something that we know by experience as well. We know the joy that comes when we are in close fellowship with Him. And we know the lack of joy when we're not walking in close communion with Him, when we're not staying at home with Him. So the question is, are you enjoying close fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? When you, if you see or hear that phrase, stay at home, let me challenge you to think not about staying at home within the four walls of your home, but to think about staying at home with Him, being remaining close, abiding in Him, and strengthening and growing in the closeness of our fellowship with Him. There's nothing that will give more fullness of joy than being in close fellowship. And there's nothing that will rob that joy more than when we allow things in our lives that hinder that fellowship with Him as well. And I think we can all say that we've experienced both sides of that to some degree or another. But there's two kinds of branches that he lists here in verse number 2. If you'll notice that in verse number 2, he talks about the unfruitful branch. What does the vine dresser do with an unfruitful branch? He says in verse number 2, he uses the phrase, sorry about that. He uses the phrase, take away. And that phrase, take away, there, he takes it away, can actually have two meanings. It's translated, we're all familiar with the verse, John 1:29, John the Baptist, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And that's the same word that is used here. But there's also another, and so those who would use that translation and that definition of the word in verse number 2 would say that the unfruitful branch is someone who never was truly born again, but they just made a profession of faith. But there's also another definition of that Greek word, which is translated as take away, and it's actually translated as lifts up. And you can look at that in John 8:59, and in John 8:59, it's the same Greek word, but there it says that they took up stones to stone the Lord Jesus. And that's how it's translated, to take them up, to take up. And so those who believe that this is the correct translation would say then that the unfruitful branch is the believer who needs to be lifted up to encourage it to become more fruitful. A great commentary that I have by What the Bible Teaches, it's a series of commentaries. It's a great brethren commentary, but he talks about there that the vine can have these long, weak branches that can sink to the ground, and then they can actually become earthbound and therefore fruitless. And so men, according to this commentary, men that are called lifters are then hired to raise up these branches where they can be separated from their connection there with the earth, and therefore can get more light and make them more fruitful. And so you can see the picture there. Sometimes what will happen in our Christian lives, I think we could probably all relate to this in some way. Sometimes we get a little earthbound. Sometimes we get caught up with the things of this life, and we get wrapped up in those things to the point where we're so wrapped up in those things, we become earthbound, and it can even impact our fruitfulness for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." Sometimes we need that lifting up. Sometimes he needs to do a work in our hearts to sever that connection that we have with the world that's hindering us from bearing the fruit that we should bear for his glory. And so this unfruitful branch, what does he want to do? He wants them to stay, and he wants us to stay at home. Maybe we've become a little unfruitful. Maybe we've become so taken up with the things of the world that we look at our lives. And, you know, as we look at this study in this chapter, we've got to ask ourselves, am I bearing fruit? Because that's what we are as branches. That's what our response, that's our purpose as branches, is to be fruitful. And so he tells us to stay at home so that we can enjoy and grow in that fellowship with him, and that we don't become earthbound. And when we do, he might allow that work in our lives through his Spirit to make us more fruitful. But then he talks about there's the fruitful branch as well. So what does the vine dresser do to the fruitful branch? It says that he prunes it, or he cleanses it. It's actually the same word that we read in verse number 3, where he says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And that's the same word. And so there's this cleansing work that needs to be done in our lives, even when we're fruitful. It needs to happen. And so just as branches sometimes need cleansing from insects or mildew or fungus or these things, we need cleansing in our lives. Things that may hinder that closeness of our fellowship with him, and therefore it's going to hinder our fruitfulness for him in bringing glory to the vine. And then verse number 3 tells us exactly how he works out, how he does that cleansing, and it's through his word. That's why we're here today. That's why we're gathered together. It is to look into God's word. God uses his word in so many ways. One of the things he uses his word for is to cleanse us. It's that cleansing work that the word of God has to help us maintain that close fellowship with him. So, I think for now we'll stop right there. I think our time is about gone. And as we, when we come back together at the next meeting, we'll pick up right there, continuing on this study, looking at this stay-at-home order. And I just challenge us, let's really consider the fruitfulness of our lives as we examine ourselves with respect to this idea of remaining in close contact, close fellowship with him. Let's close this section in prayer. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace to us. And Father, we are amazed that you would do such a work in our lives. We recognize, Father, we're so unworthy. When we think that you would want to abide and make your home and to be at home in my life, I just can't hardly take that in. Lord, it's more than my feeble mind can understand. And it's so amazing, Father. And yet how necessary it is. Without you, we can do nothing, as we'll be seeing in more verses. But, Father, we pray that you'll help us to have a longing to be close to you and for you to make us fruitful for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.